Father, we thank you again for this time that we are spending with our brethren. And we thank you for your word that is a treasure that we can go every day to calm our thirst and to satisfy our hunger for your spiritual relationship that we need from you. We worship you. We know you through your word and your dealings with your prophets and agents in the Bible. We thank you for the life of Jeremiah. We want to learn from him now. We want to learn from that story regarding the causes that produced the exile to your people. And we want to learn from that you don't want to deal with sin, that you are merciful as well, and you provided for them redemption in Christ. We want to take that for us, and we want to learn from those stories in the Bible. We ask you also for Jason's class, for the children's class, and for the service we are going to have in a few moments, that you prepare our hearts to meet with you regarding and around the Word of God that is revealed to us. We thank you all for all these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we are going to see the prophet Jeremiah, and the main subject of the prophet Jeremiah, as you will see, is that he is dealing with the causes for the Babylonian captivity. So that's why this book is very important, because it reveals the causes for the Babylonian captivity. And as always, we are going to follow this structure. We are going to start immediately with the historical and geographical context. Last Sunday, I talked about the situation in the world where Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. So since Habakkuk is a contemporary prophet with Jeremiah, it's about the same thing. The father of Nebuchadnezzar, his name was Nabopolassar, he conquered Babylon, took over Babylon around 626 years before Christ. And then all those cities were starting to be conquered by Babylon, and alliances that they did with the Medes and the Chaldeans. They destroyed Assyria. Remember that Assyria was the empire until that time. The people of Israel here in Jerusalem, they thought that the real enemy was Assyria. And the prophet Habakkuk said, no, it's not Assyria. Other prophets said, no, it's not Assyria. It's the Babylonians. And then eventually Assyria, the city of Nineveh, they were took over also by Babylon in the year 612, as the prophecy was saying. Then the Assyrian tried to invade Haran, but Nabopolassar overtook again on them. Then you remember Josiah. This is very important, and because for today's class, Jeremiah was precisely there when Josiah was killed. You remember this that I explained last class, that the Pharaoh of Egypt, Necho, he was traveling to fight against Babylon here in the north. But then for some reason, Josiah wanted to meet him here in Megiddo. And then Josiah was there. And the Pharaoh, Necho, spoke on the words of God. And he said, no, don't go here. My war is not with you. It's not against you. It's against Nebuchadnezzar. Don't come here. But for some reason, we don't know. This is something that I am very sad all my life, because this king, Josiah, he was one of the best kings, but he died in this battle against Necho with 39 years old. And then eventually Necho went to his place again to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. But then after that, after he killed Josiah in this battle, then eventually he fell down before Nebuchadnezzar here in Carchemish. So basically that was happening in the life of Jeremiah. We will see about that. And then finally, not finally, but what was the beginning of the final stage for Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar invades Jerusalem around 607, and then he took the nobles. Daniel was there, and you know the rest of the story that we will be reviewing these following days, because now we are going to face the prophets that were in the captivity, during the captivity, just right before the captivity, as the case of Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel and Daniel, that they lived the captivity, as well as Jeremiah too. But the point is that, if you remember, what happened was, and we will review the story here again, but what happened was that Jeremiah was the prophet staying in Jerusalem. He had the economic and social situation, a political influence to get a job in Babylon, but he decided to stay. So he stayed here in Jerusalem, while Ezekiel, first Daniel, he was taken in the first invasion from Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar arrived to Jerusalem, he took the nobles, the sons of the nobles, and he took all these young people to train them in the kingdom of Babylon. And Daniel was there. We're going to see about Daniel on Sunday of December 26th, I think it's Daniel. But first, we're going to see now Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, and then we're going to see Daniel. But the point is that Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem, and then Daniel was taken to Babylon in the first invasion, and then Ezekiel was taken in the second invasion. And then Ezekiel was working with the exiles. Ezekiel was not working. When you see the prophet of the prophecy of Ezekiel, don't imagine Ezekiel in Jerusalem. He was not there. He was with the exiles in Babylon, as well as Daniel. But Jeremiah, he stayed there in Jerusalem. So that is the context, the historical context we are going to see today. If you want some extra details now, these are the kings of Israel. As you remember, I mean, the kings of Judah, in this case, the kings of the south, the southern kings. Uzziah, he was one of the best kings. He was in the time of Isaiah. And then you see here, Hezekiah, that was a good king as well. But his son, Manasseh, he was the worst of all, but he repented at the end of his days. Amon, his son, he was a bad king. And then you have Josiah. He was a very good king, but he was killed by Pharaoh Necho, as I was telling you. Then after Josiah, you have Jehoahaz, that he was about 3 months there. Jehoiakim, that he was more time, like 10 years there. And then you have Jehoiachin. He was 3 months there. And the last king of Judah, Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 11 years there. And we are going to talk about that, because that is precisely the context of Jeremiah during the kings Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. This is the context where Jeremiah, he had to see all the people dying around him. He was in that state of lamentation. He was telling them about that before it happened, and he was telling that during the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. So in the book of Lamentations, by the way, we are going to review very quickly today the book of Lamentations, because this is part of the prophecy of Jeremiah. You have two books. You have the book of Jeremiah, 52 chapters, and then you have the book of Lamentations, which is five sad poems speaking about what was happening there in Jerusalem. So this is the historical context again. If you double-click here to see what was the detail of the invasion, this is what happened. You have three deportations. As you can imagine, you have Nebuchadnezzar with all the army here, and they are taking over the city. They are controlling the city. Now they need to prepare the people, say, okay, come on, let's go. And they need time to do that. So the first deportation was around 607. This is the date that, as you know, I'm taking as a reference James Usher chronology. But the modern chronology that we have these days, this is 605, 597, and 586. It's a difference of 2 years. So I just want to be consistent with the chronology that we are using. So it's around 607 before Christ, the first deportation, and this is the time when Daniel is taken. So for you to remember, in this first deportation, Daniel was taken to Babylon. In this second deportation, Ezekiel the prophet was taken, and more important, the king Jehoiakim, he was taken in that second deportation with 10,000 Jews were taken to Babylon. And then finally, the final deportation is when they destroy the city. Why did they destroy the city in the third deportation? Because they needed to take over and to take with them the good people. I mean good people in terms of preparation, nobles, people that could be useful for the kingdom. So they took Daniel and the sons of the noble in the first deportation. In the second deportation, they took 10,000 Jews. And then in the third deportation, they just destroyed the city. Everybody, come on. And if you want to stay, you're going to stay, you know, poor there. Because no agricultural business, no nothing, no temple, no nothing. And that is a very important milestone in the theological and the redemption history. Why? Because up to this time, the Jews used to have in Jerusalem a temple to bring the sacrifices. So after that, those sacrifices were completely stopped, and then they had 70 years of captivity until they returned. You remember when they returned, they rebuilt the city, they rebuilt the temple, they restarted the sacrifices with the priests and everything. And then eventually in the year 70 after Christ, when Titus came to the temple, he destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. Since that time, they don't have any kind of sacrifices there. But this is the situation, and Jeremiah was key here as a prophet, warning the people and explaining why this was happening. Why? Because they left the covenant of the Lord. And you will see more about that. So with that historical and geographical context, let's go now as a survey to the book of Jeremiah. But first, Rick has a question.
Is the deportations you spoke of what Jeremiah gives in the last chapter, chapter 52, verse 27 through 32? He speaks of three deportations, but the numbers aren't the numbers you give. His second deportation only has like 3,800 or something. So I'm just curious if...
No, that deportation in chapter 52 is the third one.
He mentions all three. If you go there, we can do it later.
Okay, I'm going to go to 52. I'm going to go to chapter 52. But for the records, we don't think that Jeremiah wrote chapter 52. It was an appendix of the prophecy. But we are going to get there. But because it was written with more knowledge and detail, And it's a parallel text to Second Kings, chapters 25, 26. Yes.
When was the temple destroyed?
That's a very important question. It was in the third one. The temple was destroyed here in the third one. But the point is that in chapter 52, you see the end of the story, like when they had the king Zedekiah, and after Zedekiah, the chapter 52 mentions also the governor, Gedaliah. Gedaliah was the governor that Nebuchadnezzar left there after no kings were there. Yes. From where to where, you say? Yeah, they continued, we suppose, but we don't have any evidence. Yeah, but the priests were there. And as a matter of fact, now that you mentioned that, during this time, Jeremiah, the message of Jeremiah was, hey, guys, surrender to Babylon. Let's go with Babylon. And the priests, he was offended. The priests of the temple, he was offended. He said, what are you talking about? Because we are national guys. We are from here. We are from the land of the Lord. And then Jeremiah was put in jail. And precisely in this time of Zedekiah, he was saying, hey, we need to surrender. The message of the Lord is that we surrender to Babylon. And then they didn't hear him, and they put him in jail. But Zedekiah protect him and put him out of jail. And eventually, after that, Zedekiah, and you know the story, Zedekiah was caught because he was trying to escape. And then they was caught, and they was put in front of their children. I mean, their children was young adults already, but they were put there. And then they saw how they killed their family, their children. And then they put his eyes out of his head. And then he was blind, and he was left in that condition. That was for Zedekiah. And after that, then they put a governor called Gedaliah to govern there. But then some of the Jews that stayed there, they made a rebellion against Gedaliah, and they killed him. They killed the governor. And they took Jeremiah, and they took Jeremiah to Egypt. And then in Egypt, Jeremiah told, please, guys, surrender. You need to surrender to Babylon. And that was the last message from Jeremiah to the people of Israel that is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, at least. This is very important, guys. I thank you for your questions, because if you understand this part of the story, you will find sense when you read the prophets. This is very, very important to understand in the life and the history of Israel. So let's go to the book of Jeremiah now, and let's see the survey, the introduction to the book. What about the name? Well, Jeremiah means basically Yahweh establishes. That is the meaning of his name. And he was son of Hilkiah from the priestly lineage. So Jeremiah, if you go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, you will see that he is from the family of the priests. He was a prophet, though he was not a priest, but he was a Levite then, because he was from the family of the priests. So Jeremiah says in chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So where is Anathoth? I'm going to show you the map here for you to see. Very near to Jerusalem. Here is Jerusalem, and there is Anathoth. From Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, that it belonged to Judah anyways. So that is where the prophet is from. He moved then to Jerusalem for protection, because when you read in chapter 11, verse 21, you have a hint there that the city of Anathoth was against the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 11, verse 21, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life and say, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord. You will die by our hand. Those were his people there in Anathoth saying to Jeremiah. So he started his ministry around 20 years old in the 13th year of Josiah. So if you go again to chapter 1, how do we know that? In chapter 1, verse 2, Jeremiah says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. But then in verse 6, it says, then I said, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. So the point is, we don't know if the age of the prophet was exactly 20 years old. We are not saying that. We're just saying that he was a young person, a young man, and for a Jew, a young person should be less than 30 years old. Because remember, the public ministry of the you started at 30 years. That's why you see Christ, Jesus Christ, publicly teaching in the temple, etc., when he was about around 30 years old. So this prophet says, I can't speak, I am too young, I was not going to be heard by the people. But he said, don't worry about that. I am sending to them. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So you see there the sovereignty of the Lord. He never got married because the Lord ordained him not to marry because of the future tribulations. When you see in Jeremiah chapter 16, chapter 16 of Jeremiah, the Lord says the following, verse 1, 16:1. The word of the Lord came to me, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bore them, and the fathers who fathered them in the land. They shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, etc., etc. He's describing a situation where judgment is coming. It's going to be tough. And it's better not to have a wife for Jeremiah. So that was part of the mercy of the Lord. There is a side text that I am adding here. Ezekiel chapter 14. Remember that Ezekiel was a contemporary. And Ezekiel says this regarding the situation there. 14:14. Even, says Ezekiel, even if these three men, and listen to this list, Noah, Daniel and Job were in it, they would deliver by their own lives, by their righteousness, declares the Lord God. Verse 16, even if these three men were in it, as I live, declares the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the land would be desolate. So the Lord was determined to destroy Jerusalem, to send judgment, and the best advice was, Jeremiah, do not marry, because even your sons or daughter, they're going to die here. So forget about that. Focus on this ministry and forget about that. So he never got married because of that. And 5 years after his ministry started, the book of the law was found in the temple. Remember, in the time of Josiah, and the revival came into that time. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 22, etc. So that is about that. But we have more about the life of Jeremiah. So after Josiah's kingdom, Jeremiah faced opposition for preaching on favor of Babylon. And you know about that. And Jehoiakim broke the copies of Jeremiah's manuscripts. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 36. That's another interesting thing that happened during the compilation, during the writing of the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 36, you see the following words from the Lord. 36:20. So they went into the court to the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. They were reading the words of God through the prophet Jeremiah that he wrote in the manuscript, in the scroll. Verse 21. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. And there later, the Lord said to Jeremiah, now write again the words that you had in the previous scroll. And they registered again those words. But the point is, well, by the way, who was Jehoiakim? This is very important to refresh as well, for you to avoid to get lost. Remember Manasseh, the worst of the kings. He repented at the end of his life. Amon, he was a bad king, and he was killed. And because he was killed, his son Josiah, he was so young when he started to be king, he died at 39, killed by Pharaoh Necho, because he was to that war that I mentioned before. Then Josiah had this son, Jehoahaz. But the problem is that he was put there by the people of Israel, the people of Judah, because Jehoahaz, his name, his real name in Hebrew was Shalom. He was the name. But they called it Jehoahaz as a name for a king, you know, to be known as Egyptians, etc. So Jehoahaz was an anti-Egyptian. This guy, and that was the reason why he was put there by the Hebrews. But then Necho arrested him and put his brother Jehoiakim, that he was called Eliakim, and he was there for 10 years. So after Necho fell down before Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar stayed with Jehoiakim, and he was there 10 years. Then eventually, his son, Jehoiachin, was there but just 3 months, because that was the one that was taken during the deportation, the second deportation. And then Zedekiah, he was the brother of Jehoiakim, and so he was the uncle of Jehoiachin. Then Zedekiah was the last king of Israel. So this was the guy, Jehoiakim, who burned the scrolls of the prophet Jeremiah. So in the time of Zedekiah, that was the last king, the king allowed the nationalists to jail the prophet that was seen as a traitor. However, King Zedekiah himself feared Jeremiah, and he rescued him from death. After Nebuchadnezzar, instead of choosing a better quality life, he chose to stay in Judah, as I was saying to you before. And after the assassination of Gedaliah, he was the governor. Remember, the governor after the last king of Israel, Jeremiah is taken to Egypt. And from Egypt, he was telling a message also to those people there. So regarding the date of the book, the ministry of Jeremiah was about 50 years, during which he wrote many prophecies that he collected in scrolls. And Baruch, he was his amanuensis, helped him taking dictations from the prophet. And that is recorded as well here in the book of Jeremiah, saying that he was asked, what about this? Yeah, I'm taking dictations from Jeremiah directly. I'm putting here. He was questioned by the authorities, Baruch. And they did not edit their scrolls collection in a chronological order. That is very important, and I'm going to go there now. When we see the events accounted in the book, Jeremiah's ride about Gedaliah, the governor after last king, so that is about 588 before Christ. So this is the time frame in which Jeremiah was speaking, but in Jeremiah 52 seems to be an appendix. And when you calculate the date, it's about 562 that he says, in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Evil Merodach, king of Babylon, he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, in the year that he became king, graciously freed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. So basically what he's saying, and when you compare with 2 Kings, chapter 25, verse 27, you will see that 2 Kings and Jeremiah 52 are the same texts. It's a replica. So the theory is that Jeremiah 52 was not necessarily written by Jeremiah, but he was put by the authors of 2 Kings that was written after, and then they sing, or maybe Jeremiah wrote both, but it was a long time after those events.
Now,
yes. Yes.
So could that have been Jeremiah, but the 52 verse 31 is the appendix?
It could be. But The point is that, and now we are going to go there in a few slides, but the point is that it's not chronological. So the last things maybe that he spoke was the things that he said to the Egyptians or to the people in Egypt, and that is about chapter 40. So it's not in a chronological order, but I'm going to tell you about that later. Because the chronology is very interesting in Jeremiah. I'm going to go there in a few seconds. Yes, Luis. So, Miguel. No, it's the whole chapter 52 corresponding to, and as a matter of fact, when you compare with 2 Kings, chapters 25 and chapter 26, all that section fits with Jeremiah 52. It's the same story, yes. Huh? Then let me check, because it's then 24 and 25. Yeah, it's those two chapters are you can compare with Jeremiah 52. So let's go to the most important part, which is the subject. And remember that you need to understand what is this book about. Anyways, what is the book of Jeremiah about? Is Judah's wickedness bringing as a consequence the Babylonian captivity? This is all about. He's talking about the wickedness of Judah bringing as a consequence the Babylonian captivity. And the key texts are this. Let's go to those. There are very good texts. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7. Jeremiah 21. Verse 7, this is a key text. Afterward, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people in this city who survived the pestilence, sword, and famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them or spare them or have compassion. That is a key text, that this is the determination of the Lord. He will deliver to the enemies. I mean, he will take the people of Israel or the Judah to the enemies. In chapter 22, verse 8, there's another key text there. 22 verse 8, and many nations will pass by this city, and every man will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord dealt thus with this great city? And they will answer, listen to this, this is very important, chapter 22 verse 9, this is key in Jeremiah to understand the book of Jeremiah. They will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods and served them. So that's the reason why the consequences of the Babylonian captivity is the wickedness in living alone the covenant of God. It's forsaking the covenant of the Lord and worshipping gods and serving them. That is the main cause. Key words in the book of Jeremiah, because this is a large book, 134 times you will find these words, iniquity, sin, evil, transgression. It's very clear the cause was the wickedness of Judah, bringing as a consequence the Babylonian captivity. Why this book is important? Because it explains the causes of the exile. It provides additional historical details. For example, the appendix on chapter 52, it's additional. That's historical details. We don't know much about that part of the story, like when the king Jehoiakim, he was after being in jail, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, evil Merodach, he took Jehoiakim and brought him to his table, and he was considered a friend of the king of evil Merodach. So that is recorded in Jeremiah as well. It contains the prophecies regarding the new covenant. That is very interesting, that God had planned in his sovereign plan for the true people of God, the Israel of God. Let's read that one because it's a very beautiful text, and you must know that. Jeremiah chapter 31, 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day then when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, not at the covenant of Moses, he's saying. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the new covenant, or this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is the covenant of grace. I will be their God, they will be my people. That is, as a matter of fact, that is the essence of all the covenant of the God through many covenants, but the same promise with Adam, with Moses, with Abraham first, then with Moses, then with David, then the new covenant. All of those, it's the same essence. I will be their God. They will be my people. And now he's talking about that new covenant in Jeremiah. And that is then revealed when Jesus came and he says, this is the new covenant that the prophets were speaking about. I am the new covenant. So that's very important. So for a second, let's just one slide. Let's go with a parenthesis here about Lamentations. Because remember that Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah. And then Lamentations is an appendix as well, as if you will, about what happened during the invasion. So as a poet, he wrote five sad poems regarding the destruction of Jerusalem. That is all. What is Lamentations about? Sad poems regarding the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the key text, again, let's go very quickly to Jeremiah. After Jeremiah, you find five chapters additional that it's called Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she who was great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a slave. That is one key text. And one text that we use as evangelical every day is chapter 3, verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him, etc. So the point is that it's interesting that in the middle of Lamentations, destruction of Jerusalem, he says the Lord is faithful and his mercies are new every day. Okay, so the key words here is the city of Zion is mentioned 15 times, Jerusalem 7 times, and desolation 7 times. So that's the point with Lamentations. The outline, if you want to see an outline, is 5 chapters, 5 headings. Jerusalem's misery in chapter 1, the cause for Zion's desolation, chapter 2, chapter 3, the prophet's sufferings. Chapter 4, the horrors of the siege and fall of the city. And chapter 5, the petition to Jehovah for a restoration. That is all about Lamentations. So this is more for a reference, as a reference. So you have the notes there in the internet. Now let's go back to Jeremiah. And we are just in the final segment of the class where we are going to see the outline. And we are going to see about the chronology problem, quote unquote. And then we will see the reason for that anti-chronological chronological view on Jeremiah. And then we will see a couple of learnings in Jeremiah. So what about the outline? As Edwin has told you many, many times, an outline is just an aggregation of ideas. When you say, okay, Arturo made an introduction, and then he went to explain the historical context, then he explained the key texts in the book of Jeremiah and on the subject, and then he ended up with a couple of lessons. That is an outline of what I said. Okay, another person could have another way to explain how did I do and group the ideas in a different way or different topics. So this is an outline giving you a sentence for each group. For example, chapter 1 is the calling of the prophet Jeremiah. You remember that God said, when you were in the womb, you were in the womb of your mother, I was already calling you to be a prophet. And then in chapter 2 to chapter 36, prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem. In chapter 37 to 45, story of Jeremiah and his time. Chapter 46 to 51, prophecies against the nations. And then in chapter 52, it's not about a prophecy. It's about a historical appendix telling you some interesting facts about what happened in those days. So remember that the key subject here is Judah's wickedness bringing us the consequences of Babylonian captivity. Now, the problem we have with this kind of outline is that we don't, as in, we have a Western mentality. We have a Western mentality. We expect all things to be, and Edwin has a problem with me because when he's preaching, I expect him to be structured. Point number one, point number two, and point number three. You know, like a structure, because that's the way I think. But guess what? Not everybody thinks like that, especially in Eastern cultures. They don't care about chronology. Take the example of John, the apostle. When you see the book of John, where you see the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's doing circles, repeating, reiterating the ideas. They have another way to tell stories. I'm going to give you examples from the book of Jeremiah. If you have an order, chronological order, I have put here a chronological order. The call of Jeremiah from God to the ministry was told in chapter 1. That's okay. And that is beginning here in the 13th year of the kingdom of Josiah. That's okay. And that was 629, around that year. And then you have chapter 2 in the same date. But then you have chapter 8. Where is chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Oh, they are talking about another date, not a chronological date. And then you see this jumps here. So you see chapter 30 is talking about that story here in Josiah's time. But then you have chapter 22 that is supposed to be in chronological order, but not. Chapter 2 is talking back to Jehoahaz. And chapter 7, you see that it's lacking here. Chapter 2, and then where is chapter 7? Here is chapter 7, and chapter 11, and chapter 15, and 17, and chapter 26, speaking about Jehoiakim. So he's not in a chronological order. If you take then under the kingdom of Jehoiakim, all these dates in 610 before Christ, the chapters are crazy if you need to put it together there. And then the same with Zedekiah. You see, this is the thing that I was saying. In chapter 51, he's saying about something that happened in Zedekiah, which is good. But also in chapter 24, in the middle of the book, he's speaking something about the end of the story. So, and then Gedaliah, you have Gedaliah was the last thing that happened in Jerusalem at all. He was the last governor. He was killed, and the people who killed him went to Egypt. And then Jeremiah was taken with them. That is in chapter 40. I mean, Jeremiah was freed to the custody of Gedaliah, whom Nebuchadnezzar appointed governor of Judah. That is told in chapter 40. But then you have more things, as you saw here in chapter 49 or the rest of the chapters. So what is the problem with the chronology in the book of Jeremiah? Do you know what is the problem? The problem is that we don't have any problem. The problem is that we, as the Western thinkers, we think different. But God keeps and uses people's national and ethnical characteristics. They were Eastern writers. And as such, they did not pay attention to any logical or categorical arrangement that seems to be characteristic in Western writers. For example, if you take the Quran, that is written more in a Western style, as we are used to understand things. First, second, third. Not the Bible. As a matter of fact, you know that the order of the prophets here, the order of the Bibles, of the book of the Bible, are not necessarily put in chronological order. They are put in another logical order, but not chronological. So the arrangement presented by Jeremiah allows him to emphasize repetition, the sinfulness of this nation, and threatening disaster coming soon. So he's repeating over and over, sinfulness, wickedness, and judgment to come. He wove those thoughts in a book when he read it, and we find those thoughts over and over again until they impress our mind in a powerful way. However, we could arrange the book of Jeremiah in some logical order. You could say, well, chapters 1 to 25 are prophecies for Judah, for sure, both on calamity and prosperity. Chapters 26 to 45 regarding a personal life of the prophet. Chapter 46 to 51, a group of prophecies against foreign nations. And finally, chapter 52 is a historical appendix. But that's it. So that is regarding the chronological problem. So let me go just to tell you about the lessons, and then we are going to go to you for any comments or questions you may have. So regarding to the person of Jeremiah, we learned that the best place to serve is where God has placed you. Jeremiah had economic, social, and political influence to apply for a job in Babylon, as Daniel did. I'm not saying that Daniel was searching for a job in Babylon. He was taken as a prisoner, but then he developed his own ministry there. But instead, God put Jeremiah in a different situation, staying in Jerusalem with the poor of the land. And as a person, we learned that the best place then to serve is where God has placed you. And also, Jeremiah was able to learn to overcome his own will and personality by giving tough messages. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 29. If I say, I will not mention him, that's speaking about God, like Jeremiah's personality was, oh, those guys are so wicked that I don't want even to speak about God. I will shut up. Then he says, I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. There is in my heart, as if it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary withholding it, and I cannot. I have to speak. So he learned that. He was maybe a shy person. He was maybe a Jonas kind of prophet, and he didn't want to talk. But he was crying, and he was speaking to the people the right message. So that's regarding the person of the prophet. Now, regarding to the content of the prophecy, the content of the prophecies was that they left the covenant. They left the covenant. That is the main issue here. They left the covenant. That is the prophecy. So we learn about the meaning of sin. This punishment of God to his people gives us an idea of the meaning of sin for his holy and righteous nature. God is righteous, God is holy, and he needs to punish the unrighteousness. And God always fulfills his promises, either in judgment or blessing. Look at the exile, look at the new covenant. His promises are forever. He said, if you sin, if you do this and this, you will receive your punishment. Now, if you believe and you accept me, you will be partaking of the new covenant. And we'll learn also about the mercy of God when we think that in that new covenant. When you go to Hebrews chapter 10, I'm not going to go there, but it's a very good text that we can meditate on, that we are partaking now in that new covenant. So with that, I don't want to continue speaking. I'm going to give you the 5 or 7 minutes that we have left to any questions or comments that you may have right now regarding your personal experience with the book of Jeremiah. Yes, please, Alex.
Why is it that the promise of the new covenant is not the key text of Jeremiah for you?
Because of... I mean, it's a very important subject, but the point is that he just was speaking about destruction, transgression, evil. I mean, remember that in the moment that he was speaking, the judgment for Babylon, they were in denial. They were saying, "No, Jeremiah, you are a traitor. Go to jail. How are you saying that we need to surrender?" That was the main subject all the time, over and over. And, and there was a prophet saying, "This is with the wood here. This is the way we are going to have Nebuchadnezzar and his people to jail. We are going to imprison false prophets." And then Jeremiah went and break the wood and put an iron one here. "This is the way that you are going to be." It was like a drama all the time. Destruction is coming. And, of course, you can find that God is saying in the prophecies, "You will be destroyed. Babylon will take you for there. But I have a new covenant." And then he speak about the new covenant.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you that the importance of the book maybe is focused on that, the new covenant. But I'm just saying the subject of Jeremiah to the people was, "Hey, you are going to be captured by Babylon because of your wickedness, and because of the repetition." Yeah, that was. But I agree with you in that. Any other comments, Rick?
I always find chapter 44 verse 2, the blatant hardness of these people in chapter 44.
Yeah, and historically speaking, again, I need to know when that happened, you know, so I have my dates here. So that 44 chapter is one of the final, as a matter of fact, it's the final discourse of Jeremiah to the Jews in Egypt, reviewing the sin of the people and promising judgment even in Egypt. And they were speaking like that. Yes, I agree. Anyone else? Yes, Alex, please. Well, compared to, yeah, they are Eastern, but for some reason I found the Quran as a more Western thought or train of thoughts. I mean, it's a literature, not because of they are from there, but more the structure of their. Definitely. Definitely. I agree with you. And that's part of the argumentation when we try to explain prophecies and revelation and the mentality of the author, John, by the way, that he was in circles. You remember that class that I said he was talking about the same thing, like the dispensation of when Christ came and when he's going to return, and he's increasing, but he's going and over and over. And when we try to put a chronology, we say, okay, this is the final thing of the world, and I saw new people coming and what, but it was the final. No, it was over and over. Yeah, yeah, yes. So I think we are done here. I will ask a volunteer for praying to dismiss class. Anyone?